I'm going to quickly jump into Revelation 2. 2 weeks back, I said this is a story, this is a letter by Christ through the pen of John to Ephesus. So it's not directly for us, but we go and look at it, and we looked at it in context. We're not going to flesh it out again and then say, Holy Spirit, where is it applicable? So here's just a little bit of a disclaimer. If you're listening to this morning, I'm not saying your first love is not Jesus Christ. What I am saying is my first love might not be Jesus Christ. And I want to be challenged by, convicted by the Word of God and the presence of the Lord. And so I'm not saying where you are, the Holy Spirit will show where you are. I have no right to say to you what I think your first love is. Only the Lord in you can work that through. So you hear my heart in that. So no condemnation this morning, but if necessary, conviction through love. For I want a people, and I want to be a people, and I want a home where Christ is truly my first love. Because you can for sure be in ministry and preach a lot, and he's far from your first love. Far from it. So you hear my heart. Amen. Awesome. Let's jump into Revelation 2. We're going to go on from verse 2. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. And he says, here Jesus says, well done. You've done good works, and you've been added quite profusely. Well done. Then in verse 3, I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. You can go to the next slide, please. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And so we said to one another, and I like the King James, in fact, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Left thy first love. In other words, if me and my first love is communing and fellowshipping here, this podium did not disappear, did not fall away, we're not stolen by the enemy. No, no. In fact, it says, I have neglected, I've walked away, I have moved far from my first love. And so we see that context. Now, there's two differentiating ways in which the different interpretation of the word is given for first love here. First is, as you've loved me at first, in other words, chronologically, as you loved me when we first met, type of thing. And then the second thing is the love of priority, my first love. And I love that one because it is as if my heart can say, this is my primary love. When I open up my eyes, first thought in the morning is the thing I love. That's my priority love. And so the Lord is asking me, Retief, hey, what's your priority love? We said there to one another, that love is not mere feelings. A friend of ours, Hein, will call it oogie woogie. No, it's not oogie woogie feelings. It's not mushy per se. Yes, love does carry with it lots of feelings. Hear my heart. And I'm all for feelings and experience and encounter. We're just looking at the foundation. But agape love is one of faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. I told you guys 2 weeks ago, the first time, one of the first things Edna said to me was, Liefde is a keuse. Love is a choice. And that just, I was just bombed. I had no idea what she was saying. I thought it was all this feelings and this mushy stuff. But she said, no, love is a choice. Quite interesting. But it was a good wife to marry. She had the foundations narrowed down. Moving on. As we saw 2 weeks ago, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. In other words, he says, look here, you have fallen away from your first love. I'm evidently not your first love, even though you do lots of stuff. I'm not your first love. But now this is what you should do. Scripture says, remember, think back. How was it at the beginning? Think, remember. Then it says, repent. Repent, say sorry and turn. Go in a new, different direction. And then do the works you did at first. If not, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Who think that's quite a hard word? Petri. And Petri likes hard words. And the rest of us, I thought it was, wow, it's a bit challenging, Lord. But still, I need to reflect on it. And I need to say, Lord, your word is a mirror unto me. Where's my heart? Not because I do lots of Christian stuff does it mean my heart is in it. And so I've been taking my heart to the Lord ever since. And that's why I said maybe it's not done in my heart yet, maybe in yours, but I just ask the Holy Spirit to come and work in me so that He can be my first love. So the question was, and still is, I believe, is my heart with my first love? This morning the Lord might be saying, or in this season He's saying, Shofar Table View, is your heart still with your first love? It's awfully quiet. Is our heart still with our first love? Then we said, well, if I'm not sure, or if it's not, which is fine, by the way. The Lord is not thrown by the fact that our hearts are not there. Really is not. He's not a schoolmaster with a lang lat. No, He's a loving Father. He's a good Father. We saw who He is just now in the manifestation of His Holy Spirit. That's who He is. So He's just calling. He said, okay, cool. Let's just deal with it. Come. You can go to the next one. And so what should we do, we said, and I'm just quickly going to run through it because we've got a little bit of time and I want us to get to some foundational elements. The first thing is, listen, take out some time. Sit up your bus. Go sit on your behind. And invite the Lord and say, Lord, please speak to me. You might have amazing works, you might do lots of great stuff, but you just want to know, Lord, am I truly plugged in? And then listen, in marriage, in friendship, sometimes we need to take some time out and just go sit down and say, hey, where are we? Where are we? Where are we? Have you done that in a friendship or a relationship? Where are we really? Have you? Hallelujah. It yields a beautiful fruit. So firstly, listen. Second thing is, remember, think back. If you are married, or if you've got a very good friend of 10 or 20 years, sometimes you think back at the amazing stuff that you've done together. You remember where your heart was at. Have you ever done that exercise? Think back at your honeymoon. Man, we looked so much different way back then. You never noticed that. But you think back and you realize, man, I actually have gotten old. And then you also check your heart. Where are we? Are we just raising children and pastoring a church, casting prophetic vision to follow hard after the Lord? Or are we still traveling together in heart? Because with all due respect, you can sleep in one bed, you can drive in one car, you can even share a milkshake, but it does not mean that your hearts are with one another. And praise God, I'm not speaking about my marriage, but I'm seeing out of experience, and also in the challenging times, we need to be honest and then remember. Then you wait for a moment of conviction. Who loves conviction? Afterwards, yes. But conviction is, even if conviction is hard, it's liberating. It's almost, this is a cell deer, so, but whoops, light. It's like a jail door that gets unlocked, a moment of conviction. That's at least my experience. Let's move on. Then repent. Who loves repenting? All of you good church folk. Yes, then you repent. You say, Lord, I realize this is where my heart is at. I'm sorry. Then we say to one another, you realize what? And this is very, very crucial. You realize that He loves you first. He's not sitting there like people in our culture sitting, I love you if you love me. I'll buy you coffee if you buy me coffee. I'll invite you back if you invite me first. God doesn't have hang-ups, guys. He doesn't have a chip on His shoulder. He's not offended. His heart is actually quite wide and big. And there's space. He loves you first, even though you spit in His face. Even though you put Him on a cross. Even though we put Him on a cross and we put lashes on His back, He loves us, agape us perfectly. Maybe sometimes we just need that revelation. He's not there waiting for your love and then reciprocating and giving you His Son. No, He's giving you His Son way back. He's given you His Son. The tomb is empty. That's what I wanted to say. That's the cue for moving on. Sixth point is choose. To agape, you need to will. Let's be honest. Not everybody got out of bed thinking, oh, praise God, it's Sunday. Let's go agape at church this morning. Well, Sue het gelukkige eerlijke gegil hierso. No, we don't. But we choose to will to agape, to lay down our lives as our Lord and Savior did it. We choose to agape. We choose to love often. With that comes the most amazing, fulfilling feelings and blessing and encounter as well. But sometimes it's just a choice. Who's got kids? Agape doesn't always come that naturally. Yes. Even in church, as they say, sheep bite. They do. Not here. Gelukkig hier nie. But they do. But you will, you choose to love. Because God so loved, God so agape the world that He gave His only Son. Firstly, He chose. Moving on, you need to choose. Then seventh thing, you ask for help. Holy Spirit, please help me. Please help me. I've learned this the hard way again the last couple of weeks. Holy Spirit, please help. This morning, please, more of your fire, anointing, empowering fire of your Spirit. Please help. Because why? Love is a fruit of the Spirit. And first love, and loving my first love, and my neighbor, us loving each other, can only be a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then the eighth thing is, do the things you did at first. As with a good friendship or relationship, if you guys went out for a long jog and that worked 10 years ago, hey, how about going for a jog again? If you took her out for a coffee and it really blessed her, how about taking her out for a coffee again? Whatever the context may be, with Christ the same. How vigorously did you pray and study and eat the Word and fellowship with other on-fire Christians way back? And what are you doing now? And to say, Lord, help me to do those former things. As we move on today, I think we've did a decent job of just quickly going through 2 weeks back message. We're going to look at two foundational elements. It almost, to a sense, undergirds the process of returning to your first love, if I may put it like that. In other words, the things that we said to one another, listen, to choose, to repent, to will, to change, to love, all of those things, I believe, are undergirded by two elements, two ingredients that is necessary. First one, whom Johan shared with us last week, and that is humility. When God comes and says, hey, Retief, you're doing a lot of stuff, but your heart is not actually with your first love being Jesus Christ. Then what do I need? I need to humble myself. That's a bit of a humble pie moment there. So I need humility in that moment. We're going to look at the other thing just now that we're going to share today. Johan shared with us humility last week. I read C.S. Lewis, a brilliant C.S. Lewis quote last Saturday. The essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. And guys, pride is not some weird, obscure things in Deep Cop, or something op die vlakte, or something that you only get in Gauteng. Pride is really rife everywhere. That is the vice. That is where everything went pear-shaped. It started off with pride. And so it's very often a good idea to go look there if there's a root or a fruit or nonsense in your life, to say, Lord, is there pride in my life? Even the love of money, I saw on Saturday, I just went through a couple of teachings and articles and read some scripture, and I realized, oh man, the love of money is actually pride. Because what happens, you want to put yourself in God's shoes. You want to be equal to or above God. You want to play God. And you can do that in this world sense with enough money. And so it's just pride at the root. And I just went into prayer and I just said, Lord, if that's in my heart, help me. Moving back to what C.S. said. The most evil is pride. Unchastity, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. It is through pride that the devil became the devil. I believe it's unfortunately also through pride that we partner with him. Hopefully we don't. Pride leads to every other vice. It is complete anti-God state of mind. What's pride? Pride is just putting yourself equal to or above God. Just in your heart and mind. That's it. So it's very easy to look for that. whom Johann beautifully said that at the cross, Christ dealt with pride. So in Christ, you have no pride. In Christ, you are a new creation. In the flesh, it's a totally different story. But who of us always walk only by the Spirit? So we just need to be careful. If you're in the flesh, pride will probably be around there somewhere. But if you walk by the Spirit, then you know you can stand boldly before the Lord righteous, saying, I am a new creation. Pride has no hand on me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And at the heart of that, Galatians 2:20 is so beautiful. I don't live anymore. I'm a new creation. So pride can't get a hold of that. But the moment where it's me living, it's the flesh man living and wanting to be entitled and put down my foot and have my way, etc., etc., pride can come and have a hold of my heart. And so praise God that His Holy Spirit will help us. So the fundamental element or the ingredient we need for returning to our first love, if it is necessary in your life, first one is humility. What is the second one? Yeah, quite difficult. The second one is honesty. Who likes honesty? Who likes to be honest? Who's always and forever been honest in their life? Who's a liar? No, I'm just joking. Let's not do that. Just know where to look then when I'm doing my sermon. No, guys, we all love honesty. Trust and honesty. We just want honesty in life. We just want to be treated honestly. We want it in our relationships, etc. What is honesty? Honesty is very simply this. Free from deceit, truthful, and sincere. Free from deceit. What if the whole world was, it would have been heaven. But we all want a space, a place, a relationship, a fellowship that is free from deceit, truthful and sincere. We all want to be loved, free from deceit, truthful, and have that faithful love speak into our lives. We all crave that. Synonyms for honesty or honest is truthful, sincere, candid, frank, direct, open, forthright, straight, straightforward, genuine, like it, genuine. That's a genuine odor. Blunt, plain-spoken, plain-speaking, matter-of-fact, outspoken, as straight as a die, straight from the shoulder, etc. For me, I just wrote down here, nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. Who likes a space? Who likes a relationship? Who likes a friendship where nothing is hidden? We all crave that. I'll show you just now, remember this, why we all crave that. We all just want a place, in a space where nothing's hidden. In our relationships, in our marriages, often we think we might be in that space, but then we need to go sit down and make sure, are we walking in a place where there's no hiddenness? Is there any deceit? Is there any lie here? Edna's thinking about the Amazon book that she's bought that's on the credit card that I don't know of yet. No, I'm just joking. It's not yet. just joking. She's computing. She's listening. We'll have a chat in the car afterwards. She only buys the cheap ones. Praise God. But nothing is hidden. It's so necessary. I've got a great sensitivity for this for a lot of reasons in my life. But I want to be in a relationship where nothing is hidden. So even you might have seen, if there's something that I think is remotely scratching between us, I'll try to just jump on the phone and jump on you and find out what it is. I might not be able to fix it. That I've seen also. But I just want to know and find out. I hate the vibe. Who likes a vibe? I hate the vibe. Bloody hard the vibe. I don't like a vibe. Relationships thrive if nothing is hidden. Amen. Now this is a godly principle. This element of honesty is from God. Let's look at Scripture very briefly just to show that it is really scriptural. And the Lord loves it. He's a God of truth and of honesty. And He'll push your buttons. He'll often push your buttons until the honest answer comes out. Who's seen that? He'll just push it. So Edna knows. She had a moment this week. She's not going to share it now. She's just still processing it. But I've just seen many times, if you believe it, you'll have these seasons, you'll have these moments. He'll just push your buttons in love until the honesty comes out and he's like, oh, cool, now we deal with it. Anyway, going back to Scripture. Psalm 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. All his works are done in truth. All his works are done in truth. So if I'm busy with a work that is not done in truth, I'm not busy with God's work. Point blank. Lord help me. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Who's ever felt ashamed before the Lord? Yeah. I think that's why we're here, because Christ took away that shame. But he says this is a permanent state of being. You can be a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Just by the by, as I just sense in my spirit, sometimes you might feel ashamed in your culture or towards other people, but you don't have to be ashamed before God. I just want to tell you, that is righteousness. Christ, Paul, David, all the men of God often stood in righteousness before God, not ashamed, yet in their culture were ashamed. We've been there, so I can boldly say this. That is not of the Lord. That is of the condemning, lying father of lies. Moving on. Don't have time for that sermon today. Who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to each other since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Deception, lies is part of the old man. Honesty is the fruit and part of the new man, new creation. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of putting your trust in Christ, and it's a matter of walking in the light. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. I'm not talking about hardcore lies, just that little swift lie. That swift little thing you'll tell your kid just to manipulate them a slight little bit to do your will. Those type of things. Lord, help us. Psalm 32, verse 2. I love Psalm 32. It's one of my favorites. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, in whom spirit is no deceit. And then lastly, our first love is truth. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth. Honesty and truth is not the same thing, but they go hand in hand, by the way. We'll get to that now. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Saw this morning. If I'm not in truth, I cannot connect with God. If I'm not in truth, I cannot connect with God. If I'm struggling to worship, if I'm struggling to connect with the Word, if I'm struggling to connect with the Holy Spirit, this is not a condemning word, just Scripture, that I'm not in the truth. But the beauty is that He can deal with it. That is why when we're in the presence of the Lord, it's good to say, Lord, seek my heart. Check it out, Lord. Why don't I have freedom? Why don't I connect with you? And I'm not saying you have to do bavila. That's not the thing. You might just sit down and connect, whisper and connect. But if you're not connecting, Lord, I can only come to you through truth. Come, just show me, just help me. And He's gracious. What is grace there for? To what? Grace is there to enable us to do the right thing. Grace is not there to excuse us not to do the right thing. Grace enables. Am I right? Grace enables. Now, just quickly, the problem I see is my slide's gone. But there's another problem that I've seen. You can go to the one that says, the problem I see. There's two things. We've been asking each other, hey guys, is my heart with my first love? Is Jesus Christ my first love? And we're saying, only the Holy Spirit can come and help me. Christ is, God loves the truth, and He's an honest God. Here's the problem I see. This is my own thinking. Please bear with me, test it, and come and challenge me. But in our culture, I've seen two problems. I call it the profile persona. It's quite a big word, eh? For Afrikaans, okay. The profile persona and the carpet. You don't only see that with God, but you see that in your life. What is the profile persona? Who of you has got a stunning profile persona? I can go look around, eh? Or some of, yeah. Good answer. We all have a profile. You might not have to be on Facebook to have a profile persona, by the way, but it's your public life portrayed in a certain way. What's the problem I see in my own life, in my heart, place where I get tested, is saying, Retief, is your public life, this is actually public life this morning, obviously, that amazing, stunning profile there is public life. But is your public life the same as your private life? Or is there a disconnect and a massive distance between who you are in private, in your heart, behind closed doors, maybe with your family, even sometimes for some people it's further away from that. But is there a disconnect between your private life and your public persona? And how far is the distance? I would love to have one that is one and the same. I'm not going to be crude now. Now, I'm going to try to never be crude. But we need to be careful. Lord, what is the profile persona? What is the public persona that I sometimes put up or have portrayed, and how does it differ from what happens in my private life? Because obviously this world is not always that honest with their public personas. Who's seen that? Who's done that? We all do that. And then the second thing is the carpet. Ah, that's my favorite. The carpet. Who's ever been in a family or organization or a fellowship or a relationship where there's a massive, beautiful, perhaps it's a Persian carpet, a beautiful carpet, which if something is a problem, it just gets swept under the carpet. If there's an elephant in the room, it gets swept under the carpet. If there's a fence, we just put it under the carpet. If there's a disconnect in heart, we just sweep it under the carpet. I'm like speaking, am I speaking Asian? Oh, amen. Oh, or are you thinking about a couple of carpets? Okay, now I get you. I just love ripping up carpets. I think that's like my pet little thing. I just love to just speak into somebody like, hey, Kunrad, how are you? Wah! I just love that because it's so liberating. Not in hurting anybody. That's not the heart. I just love to call. Everybody's like, hi, how are you doing? I'm like, can you very willy funty? It's like kind of this. And they're like, no, it's amazing. The family's been like this for years. You know, opa and opa's a opa and opa's a opa. It's just, he's a groot willy funt. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. I can see. Many of our families have carpets and elephants. And so, relationship, if built on honesty, is a place where nothing is hidden. There can be a carpet, but it needs to be clean underneath. Because otherwise it steals. And God, I've just noted, God doesn't do well with carpets. I don't get far with God with a carpet. So I might just roll on into my quiet time and have the carpet there, but it just doesn't flow. Don't know about your marriage, but my marriage is also like that. If there's something, even now, I'll stop the sermon just to quickly sort out the carpet. I'm just so sensitive to these things. And so, public persona that sometimes the enemy says, no, you just have to portray this so that people will like and acknowledge and accept you. You just don't want to be real out there, do you? Because they won't like you. You'll be shamed. You'll be ashamed. And then likewise, if there's issues, you might not want to deal with them, because it'll be hurtful and you might lose a relationship, you might pick up another offense. 2 weeks ago I was praying about something and the Lord just said to me, Genesis 3 verse 8, and I'm like, okay, cool, Quentin, go read it. And I'm like, this does not make sense to my context. Beautiful as Petri shared this morning, I'm like, Lord, what is this? He just says to me, in my spirit, it's a key. I'm like, okay, so in other words, I'm going to get into either counseling or a coffee or a chat, and this is going to be a key. Long story short, shelf the key, and in my preparation, it's like, I think this is the key. This is why we often have public personas and carpets, which steals from our honesty and steals from our relationships, either with people, but today obviously applicable with God. Let's quickly look at Genesis 3:8 and see if you can just make the connection. Then the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Shame, yes. There's a place of shame. They came in, God made them, he walked with them, they walked with him. There was naked fellowship with the Lord, nothing hidden. Beautiful honesty, beautiful trust. Beautiful faithfulness. No deceit, no lie, no shame. What happened then? They had themselves some apples. Yeah. Open up their eyes. And immediately what? They saw their own nakedness. Isn't it our nakedness that we often want to hide behind our profile persona? And maybe our neglect of dealing with our carpet matters. If anybody should walk in now, they would think, what is this guy talking about? But you understand the pictures. Isn't it our shame and our, actually just our nakedness that prohibits us of walking in that honesty that was way back before the Lord? Let's read the whole part of the scripture from verse 4. Then from verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Now, first things first. Who think that God actually didn't know where they are? Bit of a funny question. Did he lose them? Did the all-knowing, all-powerful, beautiful, perfect Father God not know where they are? Just look at his grace. Just look at his grace even in that moment, saying, knowing what has happened now, knowing that all the work for ages that is now lying ahead for him, the fact that he's going to have to send his own son, he says to them, as I believe he's saying to us, in moments of honesty, he's saying, "Where are you?" In other words, where are you really? He just comes and he just says, "Where are you? Why are you hiding? What has the deceiver told you? Why do you have fig leaves on? Why? Where are you?" And it's just a beautiful picture of why we sometimes deem it necessary to grab hold of public profile personas, call it what you want, why some things are swept under the carpet because we're in hiding. Why am I not with my first love? Because I'm hiding. Because this deceiver somewhere came in with something, and now something is hidden between me and my first love. But he's gracious and ever-loving, and he says, "Hey, where are you? I've been missing you. I want to commune with you. I want to fellowship with you. Why do you have that stuff on? You know you don't need that stuff on. But we need to talk about it. We need to deal with this. Because I'm sovereign and I'm truth and I'm pure and I'm honest and I need to deal with it. But I give you the grace of saying, where are you?" And so obviously that is the place, I believe, and the key that the Lord this morning wants to give us in returning to our first love in honesty. Because you know what? The flesh and the old man can't walk in honesty. What is honesty again? Free from deceit. Faithfulness. Free from deceit, truthfulness, apologies, and to be sincere. The old man can't do that. The flesh can't do that. And so if you're in the flesh, if I'm walking in the flesh, if my heart is far from him, it is just automatic that I'll be grabbing hold onto fig leaves, other stuff to just cover my nakedness. I just don't want people and God to see who I really am without the Lord. Yet, just the shift of the heart, just the shift of the spirit, just one step ahead, faith in Christ, clothing myself with Christ, knowing that he's paid, he has come to clothe me. I don't need fig leaves. I don't need to perform. I can have everything in the open before the Lord, clothed with Christ, clothed with liberty. The cross has destroyed the fig leaves. The cross has destroyed whatever you're trying to hide away by a public persona or by a carpet. There can be no fig leaves between you and your first love. Does that make sense? There can be no fig leaves between you and your first love. Just a quick testimony. I've shared this with you guys before. One or two might not have heard it, but I think it's so applicable. And also, in sharing this, please do realize I'm not condoning arrogance. And I don't see what I did as arrogance. I saw it as being truthful and honest, actually. Now, long story short, it was about early 2000s, sitting in my flat, having a quiet time this one morning on a Saturday. And up until then, for about 2 weeks, I struggled with my quiet time with the Lord. Didn't connect. I did the right things. Read Bible, listen a bit of worship. Read Bible, listen a bit of worship. Pray. And so I didn't connect. Now on Saturday morning, I loved at that stage to read the paper. I don't read it that much anymore. God kind of took that love away. Praise God. But then I really just, you're welcome to read the paper. By the by, I just don't have time. And so the paper was lying there, but I went to go sit down because I need to have a proper quiet time. Because I'm a good old Christian. So I sat down, put on worship, and I'm, worship, no connection. Who's ever been in a coffee that there's no connection? Unfortunately, it happens, yes. No connection. Start reading the Word, probably in the Gospels. Read the Word, no connection. And it's been like that for 2 weeks, and I'm like, what the heck? That's just weird. Put on worship again, maybe now. Push in, nothing happens. Word again, nothing, push in. And I get to a moment and guard your heart. And I'm going to say it in Afrikaans first. I said, Lord, you know what? It's regtig swak styl om nie op te daag as iemand met jou afspraak het nie. In other words, Lord, if somebody's got a meeting with you, it's really not good manners if you don't pitch. As I said that, it was like God stepped into the room. I got goosebumps from head to toes. I just sat there. I didn't know if I should fear or have joy. Should laugh or cry. I didn't know if it was the rapture or what it was. But something had flipped and changed in that moment. I just sat there. And he just dropped in my spirit very, very subtly. He said, be real. Be real. Now, I'm not saying swear, go off, be crazy. But there's a place where what is actually going on in your inside, God knows. And you may be honest about it. Because he is truth and he pitches when truth abides. And honesty abides. And he can face it if he doesn't like it. Even if it doesn't come in a beautiful religious package. He can deal with it. And so I just sat there. That was my quiet time. I was full. An honest moment before the Lord. I was full in that moment. Why am I telling you this? It's just, I believe the Lord wants to take us to places of just being honest with him. Because often we think we walk into church with our fig leaves and saying, hallelujah, kumbaya, but the heart is not there. And the Holy Spirit will help us with that. When you pray, God is not looking for eloquence. He's looking for honesty. By the way, honesty is not staying where you are. It's just saying, I am here. It's like a guy coming into the ICU. I've had a heart attack. It's like, cool, that's honest. But you're not going to stay in that place of cardiac arrest. You're going to be treated. So, by the way, because some Christians think, oh, we just need to be honest. I just need to be raw and honest the whole time, raw and real and honest. But they just stay in that raw and honest place. No. We're honest for the sake of growing. We're honest for the sake of becoming Christ-like. We're honest for the sake of following Jesus. We're not honest for the sake of honesty, being all raw and organic. That's good, but there's more to it. If God feels, oh, that's not applicable now, let's just skip it. They're at the bottom. There are times when your greatest freedom comes from your greatest honesty before God. Who's experienced that? When you've tried to hold everything together the whole time and then you just let everything drop and you're like, ah, Here, help me. I can help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. Hey, religion's got this dead religion. I know religion is also a beautiful word in the scriptures, by the way. So let's not knock it too much in our culture. But religion, dead religion, brings us to a place where you need to paint everything with fig leaves. Just do not show your shame. Just do not show your faults. Just do not show your fallibilities. Alice is amazing. No, everything is not always amazing. But the Lord comes and He says, I'll help you with those fig leaves. What other fig leaves, by the way, do we sometimes put on before the Lord? Religion is a major one, I believe. Religious things that we do without heart connect. What other fig leaves do you think is there to hide our shame sometimes? Good works, yeah. Absolutely good works. Anything else? Just quickly thinking of seeing if we... Knowledge. Knowledge can be a fig leaf where you hide behind. That's exactly what I've got on there. In fact, you can go to the next slide, please. Thanks. Go read that scripture. Who's ever received Matthew 23 from the Lord? Okay, well, it's only me. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm good company. Oh, a couple of honest people. Let's quickly read through it. But He said here, this was to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the guys with the knowledge, the guys that did all the right religious stuff. He said to them, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. And so even as Christians, we can step into the trap of our public Christian persona looking beautiful on the outside. Yes, when we get home and when we connect with Christ, your heart is far from Jesus as your first love. But remember, He's not condemning, I believe, this morning. He's saying, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate. Come on, disconnect with me. Let's stand in righteousness and then you worry about what's happening in church. I mean, the outside of the cup. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Now, this is hardcore scripture. In fact, you'll read the whole thing. It can keep you busy for days. Bottom line is, Holy Spirit, just help my heart. Just help my heart before the Lord. We're going to end off with application. Remember, we're moving back to, if necessary, we are moving back to our first love. Don't know if it's applicable in your life, the Holy Spirit will tell you. But we're moving back to our first love. And we say that that's a process. It takes humility and it takes honesty. And so with honesty in application, John Bloom wrote the following. I love it. God delights when truth reigns in our inmost being. Thank you. But I don't always delight in the truth. Who's ever been there? That's nice honesty. But I don't always delight in the truth. I most certainly should, but honestly, I don't. That's where the flesh tries to just still have its way. That's where the new man's not running the show. Sometimes I feel about seeking the truth like I feel about seeking the dentist. The truth might, or perhaps I already know, will expose some decay. Decay needs to be drilled out, and who wants that? Hey, how beautiful is that? Edna and I had a good conversation in the week, just checking where our heart's at. And in the process, we went to the dentist, and there was some decay. But who's ever left the dentist a week down the road thinking, praise God, I don't have that toothache anymore. Thank God, I've got this million-dollar smile. Not necessarily applicable to me, but you get what I'm saying. We all want the truth eventually. I said that at the bottom. Honesty is not always truth. Do you understand that? I can be deceived. Edna and I can be deceived. And we can be quite honest about it. But we need Petri with the scripture to come with the truth of Christ to come and help us. But if we keep our deception hidden, there's no chance of Petri helping with the truth of God, Jesus, to help us out of our deception. So please, guys, that's why I said, not just be all honest and vulnerable before each other, be so that it can also be challenged. The fig leaves can be removed. The shame can be removed. Christ can come, clothed with Christ, righteousness before the Lord. So honesty is not always truth in the biblical sense, but honesty is always the beginning of the road back to truth. Amen. I've got lots more to say, but I think our time is up, and I think that's been a lot. Can you stand with me, please? We can look at David some other day, but David was just amazing in that he was so honest. Just look at the Psalms. He'll just go off and I'm like, Lord, you put this in the Bible? It's like a hissy fit. But then he turns it at the end. Yet. And he turns back to the Lord. He turns back to God. He turns back to his first. He turns back to truth. Yet I will rejoice. And then he comes with the truth. So he's honest. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm feeling. I'm being killed and persecuted. Yet. And then he turns it around. It's just so beautiful. He doesn't hide behind those things, but he's honest before the Lord. Guys, in returning to our first love, if applicable to our hearts, let's be honest with the Lord. Let's be honest with the Lord. It's safe. I want to proclaim, I want to prophesy, I want to speak it. It is safe to be honest with God. The only thing it is not safe to be honest with is the religious spirit. And we will soon just quickly discern what the difference is. My sheep will know my voice and the voice of another they will not follow. For God is slow to anger, abounding and rich in mercy and love and grace. But he's going to give us a chance first. If you're in hiding, he's not going to force you out of hiding. If you're behind fig leaves of some persona or some carpet issues, he will never force you, but he will always ask us, where are you? I'm missing you. Remember what we had. Remember what we can have through Christ again. We can have that. Christ killed the curse, I believe, that happened in Eden. You can have it, but he's asking you, where are you? My first love, where are you? Where are you? And what are you wearing? May we come naked and unashamed again before our God, humbly and honestly. Let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you that we are new creations in Christ Jesus by faith. But thank you, Lord, that often you bring us to a space where we can just sit and listen and talk to you. Will you lead us graciously back to truth himself, to Jesus himself? Because if it is not for Jesus, we cannot commune with you, God. God, we pray for a spirit of honesty in our midst. Honesty with you, Lord, and how it gets applied is just honesty in prayer, honesty in confession to brothers and sisters to bring stuff in the light, and honesty in worship, Lord, and honesty through your word. And we ask, Lord, that you'll grace us with that in Jesus' name. If you, this morning, just, you don't have to do it now. It might be a bit intense for some people, but if you just want to commit to an honest moment before God and with God this week, you don't have to do it for me, but just for him. Just to go and sit down and just have an honest moment, an honest coffee again with him. Just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to have an honest moment again with you. Amen. That's it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will enable us because you're not driving. We need not strive. You're saying, where are you? And you're calling back. And you're destroying fig leaves. And you're clothing your bride afresh with your son to return to your son as their first love. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.